Good morning. Good to see each one this morning. I'd like to look at a few verses in Hebrews, the third chapter. Maybe we'll just read in chapter 4. Some of it's kind of repeated. I know every part is important. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Again, he limited a certain time, a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." For if, now our scripture says Jesus, but it's really Joshua. Jesus and Joshua have similar meanings, but it's referring to Joshua of the Old Testament. "For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." This is referring to the children of Israel when God brought them and delivered them out of Egypt. They were delivered from Egyptian bondage. They passed through the Red Sea. It was like a baptism for them. They were delivered by the mighty miracles that God had performed. But he had the land of Canaan for them. He wanted them to go in and possess the land of Canaan. He told them it was a good land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. That's a pretty good description. A land that flows with milk and honey. And when they went to spy out the land, all of them agreed, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. They all agreed, it's a good land. It's a good place to be. There's vineyards. There's plenty. They bear a staff of grapes, I guess, in between two of them. They brought back some of the huge, luscious fruit of the... There was no disagreement on the land being good. It was a good land. But we know the account, the story. They saw the giants. 10 of the spies, 10 of them, said, "We're not able. We can't do it." The cities are too walled. The giants are there. We're not able to possess this land. We're not able to take it. We don't have what we need. And God had done so much for them. God had done miracle after miracle and provided them. And Joshua and Caleb, they said, if the Lord be with us, we're well able. We can go in, we can possess what God wants us to possess. And they were ready to go. They were ready to go on the land of Canaan, Joshua and Caleb. They stilled the people. They tried to, but there is great grieving, great murmuring, great complaining. And they were right on the borders. They were so close. And the Lord, it kept on and kept on. And finally the Lord just said, okay. And they ended up, led them right back into the wilderness. And they lived 40 years. They spent, that generation spent the rest of their days in the wilderness. And Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that, I think Moses went part of the way, but he didn't get to go all the way. But Joshua and Caleb were able to go in and possess the land. You know, I believe the Lord has land for us today. I don't believe God is so much interested in this physical ground, this physical soil. The Scripture says it's going to burn up. The earth is going to perish. Revelation said there was found no place for them. But I believe God has got spiritual ground for me, for us in our life. I believe God has got places that He wants us to be able to get a hold of and take possession of and to have it in our lives. And I trust this morning that we're not all totally satisfied with where we're at spiritually. I hope we have a hunger and a desire for more of God, for more of His dominion, for more of His life in our life. And I pray that we're seeking that. But we need to believe, we need to have faith that God can give us what He's promised to give us. And I think about this land that God has given us. I think about victory. I think about spiritual conquest. I think about areas that have maybe troubled us in the past that God is giving us power and grace to surmount those, to overcome those, and to inhabit the territory and the ground that He wants us to have, that He wants us to possess. He said the gospel was preached as well as unto them. For unto us, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now, Brother Galen talked about walking about Mount Zion there in the Psalms, walking about and seeing there is a lot of possession in the Scriptures. There is a lot. They called the land of Canaan the promised land. There is a lot of things that God has promised us in His Word. It's full of promises that are yea and amen to them that believe. So the Lord wants us to believe in the promises that He has victory for us in our lives. Things we were visiting with someone the other day, and it was like they were at a point in their life where they just feel like this is the way it is. This is the way I am, and there's no help. And I said, don't think like that. Don't succumb to something less than what God wants us to have. Now they had, when they went into the land, they had to listen to God, they had to obey, and I believe that's part of what faith is obeying God. Faith is trusting. It's being obedient and following what God wants us to do and where He wants us to be. It's following and trusting. It's obedience. All those things, I believe, are part of faith. But when we take hold, there's a lot of promises in the scripture for us, mind, soul, and body, spirit. There's a lot of things that God has provided for us today, and we want to be able to believe in the promises and trust. In that 10th verse, he said, 9 and 10, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now I want us to, the message that they, the ten had, was, we're not able. I can't do it. The message that Joshua and Caleb had, they came, they saw the same giants, they saw the same land, they saw the same things, but they said, we're able. With God's help, we're able to go in and possess the rest, the milk, the spiritual victory. If we're lacking in spiritual victory, spiritual stamina, spiritual possessions, God, I believe, He has more ground than... Oh, you know, I'm... You know, in the land of Canaan, you read about the borders. He didn't just hem them in a little corner where they didn't hardly have any elbow room and they couldn't. He gave them a land, a bountiful land. He told Abraham years before, he said, lift up your eyes. He told Abraham, look to the north, the south, lift up your eyes. Lord, help us to do that spiritually. Help us to lift up our eyes to the promises of God and lay hold. Yeah, there's some giants, there's some strong. Sometimes there's some walled things in my mind, the way I think, there's some walls in my own mind, in my own spirit. But Lord, help us today to be able to trust God, believe in Him, yield to Him. And I think about the devil wants us to say, I can't. I can't get victory over this. I can't get victory over that. I can't have power over this. I failed in that too many times, and it's just the way that I am. I believe God has victory this morning for us. He has a place of rest. He has a good land. He doesn't just stick you in this little place, cramp you up, and there's no elbow room and there's no space. There's some space for us spiritually. There's a, you know, He gave them the different tribes their boundaries. There was plenty of room for all of them. And I thank God this morning that He has a rest for the people of God. But He said, let us labor therefore. Now I want to think about this labor. Because it's almost, we're laboring to enter into rest. Don't you get tired when you labor? We labor to rest. Now this laboring to me takes place in our spirit. It takes place in our mind, in our heart. And it's yielding, I believe this laboring is surrendering ourselves to the Lord. It's a complete surrender. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. They surrendered. Lord, here we are. We're, by your help, we can do it. They were offering themselves to God. But many times, we want our way. We want to hold on to our thoughts. We want to fight our battles our way, on our terms. And it's almost an insecurity to us to let go. To let go of us. To let go of me. To let go of what I want, my desires, and to surrender ourselves. You know, when you think about Abraham, when God, you know the time that God told Abraham to look this, you know what? That was the time when he told Lot. He said, Lot, you pick whatever you want. You go here, I'll go over here. You go over there. He said the land wasn't, they had grown. It said that not able to dwell together. God had plenty of space for them. God had room for them. But Abraham surrendered his right. He surrendered his rights. He surrendered his thoughts. He surrendered what looked good to him in his flesh. You know, it just said Lot, he lifted up his eyes. He saw the plain was well watered. That's all he went off of. It looked good. You know, many times people today just follow what looks good to them in their fleshly minds, their fleshly eyes. That's all they're following. Just what appears to look good. But Abraham, he surrendered himself to God. He gave Lot first choice. He said, I'll take what over. You know, the Lord, and right after that is when the Lord told Abraham to lift up your eyes every direction. And I'm going to give you that land. And I believe the Lord has land, but he mentioned here, he said in verse 7, he said again, he limited the certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And this is what's mentioned in the previous chapter. He said, harden not your heart. If you would hear. And that's what they did in the Old Testament. They hardened. They rebelled against what God wanted for them in their life. They didn't want to go in, and God granted that choice for them, but it was a bad choice. It was a bad decision. And they regretted it later. Lord, help us today not to harden our heart when God leads us and wants to the things that He shows us and reveals to us. Let's not harden and resist. Another place it talked about, one of the messages in Acts, they said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Lord, help that not to be our testimony, that we resist the Holy Spirit. We resist the leadings of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's a rest to the the people of God. There's a blessing. This song was it's kind of been on my mind. 297. He said, I came to Jordan's soul and stream. With trusting heart, I there had been, directed by my Savior's hand toward Canaan's bright and blessed land. You know, that's a type of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit, the land of Canaan, is the sanctified life. It's not just a justified life. It's not just the life where my sins have been forgiven, but it's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help me to be what God is calling me to be. He said, my many sins were all forgiven. My heart was clear with light from heaven, and yet I longed for deeper grace in Canaan's blessed resting place. I saw, verse 3, I saw the death I had to die, a death in which my soul did cry. The frightening waves my heart did chill, but I must yield, 'twas heaven's will. You know, we all have. The Scripture teaches us not to walk in the flesh. And that means that we're not allowing our flesh, our desires, the sight of our eyes, the hearing of our ears, we're not allowing that to dominate and override the spiritual part of our life, to override the directions, the instructions, the things that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. The flesh is not to be our master. The Holy Spirit is to be the leader. He's to be the power, the source. But we can quench the Spirit when we resist the leadership and what God is wanting to lead us, how He's wanting to lead us, when we pull back. And I think, you know, the Lord brought them right to the borders of the land of Canaan. That's where the path through the Red Sea, He had them right. That's where they were supposed to be. He had them right there, and the land was right there. And I believe that today. The gospel has been preached unto us. We've heard the gospel, as brought out, Sister Lisa mentioned, all of our lives. We've heard the gospel preached to us. There are things promised to us, grounds that God wants us to be able to possess in our lives and enjoy. And Lord, help us not to be self-sufficient, self-satisfied, and self-content, just to stay where we're at spiritually. But help us, O Lord, to desire more of what God has for us. But the verse, the chorus on this song, it says, come over into the Canaan land. Come over into the Canaan land where figs and grapes so plenteous grow. It's where the provision is at. Where milk and honey freely flow. Come over into the Canaan land. It's an invitation. I've got this land for you that I want you to have in your life. Believe in me and trust. Trust in me. Take your hands. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We give our bodies to God. We present our bodies for Him to fill us and to inhabit us and dwell in us. And then when we labor, when we surrender, and you know it happens that way a lot of, I don't know. I know there's a initial consecration of giving ourselves to God, but it just seems like the different battles that we have that I have found in my life. Sometimes I've struggled within myself. Have you ever done that? It just seemed like sometimes I've struggled and I fought, and it just seemed like I didn't get nowhere. The giant didn't move. Didn't seem like any ground was gained. But when I humbled my heart, when I got down before God, sincerely humbling, okay, Lord, what do I do? What do you want me to do? When I've yielded to that, when I've yielded to that surrender, and God has given me direction, and I became obedient to that, there was victory there. That's where conquest comes. That's where liberation comes. Believing, putting things in God's hands, committing things into the hands of God, being able to take our hands off. You know, the Lord is able to work so much. I think sometimes I've gotten in His way. Oh, Lord, help us. Help me. You know, you take a child that's trying to learn how to tie his shoes, and my grandsons are this way. They want to do it. And I like to let them try. Sometimes you know they can't. Sometimes you know they're not going to be able to do this. But they're jumping in there with all fours, so to speak. And it's like, you can't do nothing. So you let them struggle. You let them strain. You let them try to figure it out. Pretty soon they look back and they look up to you with these little eyes. And, can you help me? You know, is the Lord waiting for us to get to that point? I think sometimes He is. Sometimes I know I have fought in my own strength at times, and it doesn't accomplish. It doesn't bring victory. But when I surrender my will and my way and what I'm wanting to do on my terms, you know, it was like Naaman when Elijah told him to go dip in the Jordan River. He didn't want to do that. That's not what he had in mind. He said he already had in his mind, before he got there, that someone's going to pray over him. The prophet was going to pray over him. And he was going to be healed. That's what he had in his mind. But the Holy Spirit was saying, you go dip in the Jordan River. He said, what about the rivers where I came from? They're much better than the Jordan River. We argue with God? Sure we can. We can argue with the Holy Spirit. We can argue with God. As long as we're arguing, we don't get nowhere. But if we yield our will and we say, Lord, whatever it takes, we come to that point of yielding ourselves to God. And His servant told him, he said, if He would have bid you do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? You know, the Lord, I know the Lord doesn't work according to the way I think. The Lord works. He does work. But it's not on my terms. And it's not on my conditions. It's not on my time scale, my time frame. Lord, you got to do this. You see, I'm in a big hurry. The Lord is God. We are dealing with God. Not humanity. He said, as far as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, saith the Lord. That's a long ways up there. You go out in the night sky and look at the stars out there, for as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, saith the Lord. Lord, help us today to be able to seek God with all of our hearts and yield and submit and believe and trust that His way is best, that He knows what's best for us. I don't want to argue with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to argue and resist and grit my teeth and I'm going to do it anyway. Most people in this world, that's what they're doing in life. There's an old worldly song sings, said, I did it my way. And that's what people are doing. They're doing it their way. Lord, help us today to yield ourselves, to submit ourselves, and to listen to that still small voice. And to follow that still small voice that God gives to us. He said, He that is entered into His rest, he has ceased from his own works. So it becomes no longer me, but God in me. It becomes Christ doing the work through me. I appreciate the Scriptures, and I appreciate all that Lord's provided for us today.